Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. So the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. Y'all got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music's sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet, till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance, till you can't be your
body. Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo.
Fate bring. We be so fly, think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion on lock, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. I am Captain Yahshua.
Captain Apari, shalom.
Hey, shalom. Most High Christ bless. Happy Sabbath, Officer Amariah.
And so does Zacchaeus. Happy Sabbath.
You going to be a regular?
Lord, you know, if the Lord Lord allows me to be.
Word, man. They just, I thought y'all had a rotation to rotate out. He's like, how many times we had him out? Three?
Three times.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
I don't need.
a studious brother.
He opens up a little more each week too. So.
I know. So it's like growing. I know. And I think the glasses, between him and him with glasses, it makes me feel
more
like
studious.
Actually,
I need glasses. I'm actually really, really blind.
Like we're more
intellectual. Like your shirt's blurry
to
me right now.
Are you really?
Yeah. I need glasses pretty bad.
Hey, you driving like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm OJ.
Okay. I'm not blind. I'm OJ. Okay.
All praise to the Most High. Another blessed Sabbath. We had the Day of Atonement last week on the day of the show. So,
mm-hmm.
And that was, I think that was a great show. If you didn't check it out, it's available as a downloadable podcast on the Blog Talk link. It was a brief discussion on race in the Bible. And it was funny because we weren't even going to talk about that. We just commented on it because we were like, damn, it always seems like we wind up talking about race, but that, you know, that's the climate of the world.
Bible.
Yeah, really, too. The whole Bible is really predicated on that when you think about it, right? That the Lord made a division. You know, we went over all that. And then we had the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is great. Have another feast day of the Lord. And, you know, we're still in the midst of that. People, I think, mistake because it's the first and the last of the Sabbath. It's actually a seven-day feast.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be feasting every day. We're not commanded to congregate all the days, but it's a feast. So we should be enjoying ourselves.
Right.
I know some of y'all got to watch some movies. It's excellent. Hey, no, you relaxing. You're enjoying the feast. You're enjoying the feast. You know, our producer behind the booth, behind the glass, is reminding me to give the call-in number. Bo, why don't you just give it if you want to give it?
So the call-in number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797.
Good. Hey, Aparin walked in. He goes, it's a tough week. It's a tough morning on the day of rest. He's like, what do you mean? I said, let me stop before he goes there. Hey, we're gonna start doing segments on the show. Yeah, you think I was kidding? We're going to call it Aparium's rant. We're going to give him like 5 minutes. Uninterrupted. Bro, but we got to make sure we don't interrupt them. Uninterrupted, 5 minutes.
You got to make sure you don't interrupt them.
What about you?
No, you. Remember, I told you.
You the one making executive decisions without consulting people.
There's something particular in this seat. There's something about that seat and that switchboard.
Whoa.
It's true, right?
I am in the command center.
But also, real quick, side note. The Lord is swift to forgive for those that repent. So let's go ahead and apply Philippians 3 and just not bring that up again.
I forgive you, bro.
I'll praise you.
You self-will.
Hey, and then we're going to do another segment, and it's going to be Thoughts from Amariah.
Bring it out.
And we'll give him like a few minutes. Maybe we'll give you like 10 or 15 because it won't be ranting.
Oh, okay.
A rant can only go like 5 minutes before we got to be like... He's like, damn, why I get 5 minutes? Look at me.
5 minutes is a long time, man.
It sure is.
Out, man. Without interruption?
Without interruption.
Five minutes.
Right? Without interruption.
Patients in school? You know, like those.
Yeah.
Take forever.
So we're going to give him 5 minutes. And then we should have the soldier spot. We'll call it the soldier spot. I was going to say something crafty like to your name, but you might not be here the whole time.
Plus, it starts with a Z. So
yeah,
like,
so it's hard. Zealous.
Zacchaeus.
Zealousy.
Zacchaeus is zeal.
Zacchaeus is zeal. and let him make observations. He could talk to us about his time in Hollywood.
That's right. Bring it out. I'm gonna get you, sucker.
But hey, I love that movie. He could, and he could
classic, man.
Yeah, and he could talk about In Living Color, one of the most phenomenal
for those that are
shows on television.
For those that are listening that can't see what we're talking about, the brother looks exactly like Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Yeah. No, he is Keenan. Yeah. See, I would say he is. But one of the things I've just been remiss. I've been procrastinating. We were having a discussion on procrastination prior. Well, kind of I was talking about it, and everybody was getting cut. So we're talking about procrastination.
Oh, we're right to the mic?
No, hey, I said everybody.
Oh, okay.
I told you. Suffer from it too.
Oh,
hey,
he did.
And what was the
he
first thing when you were like, hey, I want to give you props because you know working from home, and I said, no, don't give me too much props. I procrastinate too.
You're right.
Right. See, brothers got that spirit. Am I not in jest? Am I not in jest? So we were having a thing on procrastination prior to the show. So what I've been meaning to do, and it dawned on me, you know, we were initially broadcasting on Periscope, it conflicts unintentionally. We just didn't realize we have other classes and stuff going on Periscope. So it's a little disrespectful that we're going to cut into, like, you know, another deacon or someone teaching on Periscope. But what I did realize that we could probably do, and it'll help with the Facebook page, is go to Facebook Live. I don't know that. I think part of the reason I've stopped myself from instituting it is partially because we got to be real polished to be live on the live feed. So I thought about it, but I'm thinking, you know, we can Facebook Live from the Native Latin and Black Lost History page. And that'll help kind of grow the page also.
Mm-hmm. You know, because this is a radio show format, I'm not really so sure we have to be so polished, you know, because It's kind of, you know, remember, this has been like a different type of platform where we, you know.
Well, I was going to put like a glass thing here and have have you behind the booth to show me the number. So I was kind of waiting for that. I wanted money till we put a booth.
How about you just set a timer like every 10 minutes?
How about you just freaking do it as long as you don't cut me in the middle of a thought? I try not to cut y'all in the middle of a thought unless like it's something like, you know, where you're on fire, like then we do that. I saw that happen on the Young Turks the other day, man, because, you know, that dude Sink, he's like the main dude behind it, right? Like right. Anna was like an intern and she got like popular when they started letting her do segments. But she don't have like the clout, even though she's one of the main hosts. That Sink is the one that, like, they were saying his net worth's like $10 million from starting like this Young Turks thing. So he's like the main dude. Like, I think he even hosts like an hour of the show himself on their main show before she pops in. So he's the main guy. I was thinking about that and I was just like, you know, like humble beginnings, like, and then maybe we can get ourselves set up that way, because that Facebook Live, they go on Facebook Live a lot and it's pretty popular. Like, you know, and if you think about it, I don't want to say it's clear that they're biased. They're not an unbiased news source. But then again, that's almost like an oxymoron, because no news network is really unbiased anymore these days. Right. They're all going to report it from their perception, like their perspective.
I mean, we've seen that when in these CNN Fox News wars.
Well, yeah. I mean, Fox is kind of the most blatant about it. Like, they don't give a crap. Like, the only thing they haven't claimed is that they are all Republican.
We've seen that when people interview the bishop.
Right.
So
Yeah. They try to do it from their, they try to guide it their way from their perceptions. That's like when we did that Vice interview years ago.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the guy came in, you know, and I think that was a learning experience for all of us. So that's why we're very we're very methodical and prepared when we do interviews. We don't do them often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would think we would jump at it, because we know there's like such a blackout on Israelites to be given any type of spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But
only when it's positive, there's a blackout.
Well, I mean,
when it's negative, they make
you know
us,
what,
they,
man? That's one thing I learned from a kid, bro, just watching it. You know how like when you used to watch movies and they'd be like on the record or off the record? And then they were like, whenever you're talking to a reporter, just assume it's always on the record. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter really who, like, you know, they're going to come and say it's positive. And then what they'll do is look at the SPLC thing we did. Mm-hmm. It never aired because it was too positive.
Yeah, and if you're interested in what we're talking about, you can go on UIC events and see that. I think that's something that needs to be brought out more.
Right. But we've had a lot of people since. We've had people from Europe cancel us, could reach out to us. Bishop has had me, you know, situated to maybe arrange interviewing. And listen, I'll be candid about it, because he said it on our classrooms openly. The reason they contact us is because they talk about black nationalism and all this other stuff, which is a misnomer. All right. For them to apply these type of things to us, hate group, everything else. So they throw me in front of there. The one that looks like an agent.
That's why it never aired, because the camera came on and then you were like this.
I went.
And she was like, oh, man.
She went, oh, this wasn't what I wanted.
Even the cameraman was like, huh?
Yeah.
They expected to see Wesley Snipes, and then she got
They wanted Wesley Snipes or Raynon, and they got And they got me instead, and they got a true explanation of a true representation of what we represent.
You were like that, and she was like this.
He's an MRI showing me some pictures here. Like, you can meme them out if you wanted to. Them things are hilarious.
I think that's a good idea, though, the Facebook Live.
Yeah, so I think it'll broaden our audience a little bit. And, you know, people will still link to the Blog Talk because if they can't catch it live, podcast it in the car, whatever it might be.
Oh, even though it's live, they can still catch it later on.
Right.
When they catch up on their Facebook.
Right. So, yeah, I want to set it up so that we can live it on that page.
And those are two major platforms that will be linking to each other.
Right.
So that'll
right.
Be some
and then
juice.
That stays there also, the live video, so they can scroll back to that day.
Some good juice.
Right, there. Right. Yeah, you know, they might see us drinking and eating and all of that, but, you know.
It's a radio show.
Yeah,
you know,
one of
the things that we wanted to do with this, okay, is, you know, and again, all the other platforms of value I see are phenomenal. They do a great job, every single brother that's out there. But we kind of, you know, I guess off the cuff, we kind of decided let's kind of do something like kind of just like a radio talk show.
Right, right. Because it wasn't for the sake of being different, right?
No,
no, no. No. And I know we know that in this room, but it wasn't for the sake of being different. It wasn't a vainglorious thing where we said we want to format the show slightly differently. It was just to not bring. Listen, we were going to do a show. We didn't want the only differentiator to be that it's a show that's broadcast from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to kind of enter our marketplace, I guess, so to speak, is the term you want to use, or enter our arena. We have, like you said, we have plenty of great radio shows. We
Excellent.
Have plenty of great podcasts,
sure.
Plenty of great classes that go on. But by and large, most of them are just that regular classroom type of format where it's just the scripture coming out. So rather than come out with that, and not to say so much the scripture coming out, but basically it was just like if we were teaching in a classroom setting just and calling it a radio show. So we wanted to differentiate that and really kind of do a true talk radio kind of show. And then, of course, we would obviously we always were going to refer to the scripture. That's our main source for things.
Right. Well, we figured we would hit different, you know, different type of markets.
Different things,
you know,
different stuff.
Markets. You know, people listen differently, you know.
Right, right.
You know, people, certain things attract. To, you know, certain people differently.
Well, and our main driver was to not put another show that was for solely for repenting Israel. Mm-hmm. We have enough of that. We broadcast because to me then that would be vainglorious, right? We broadcast what 21 classes a week, maybe more, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like three four times a day, 7 days a week. We have class, and that's not counting the radio shows.
Right.
So for me, it was kind of like, hey, I don't want to enter that space. And it's like, why? Just so we can look busy? No, I wanted to do something where we can say, hey, I want to be able to reach a different audience. And so be it. If those of us that are among us watch it and listen, then great. But really, our target is to try to reach out to the people that we've yet to touch.
And we also really had that mentality because at the end of the day, you know, it's like this, like the saying goes, speaking to the choir. Not that you can never hear enough of the scripture, because you can never hear enough, right? They always fulfill you up and everything.
No, well,
and
that's,
at the end of the day, it's
Romans 15:4.
Right.
You know, it's for time, right, for our learning.
Right.
So you can never hear enough.
No, you can never hear enough. But we wanted to get – there's a lot of our – see, right now, there's a lot of our people that are sick spiritually. Okay, mentally, I don't mean crazy, but they just don't know why things are going on that are going on in their life. And there's people that are in that zone, like I like to call it, that they know something ain't right, right? But they don't know where to go with it because they've tried a lot of different things.
Right.
That's why a lot of times we speak to people out in camp and stuff like that. And I've learned over the years of being in this truth that a lot of people – when they come up to us and refute what we're doing, it's not really us. It's just that they're just so disenfranchised, so disenchanted with answers that they thought they had, with solutions that never brought them, the satisfaction of living a better life. Not realizing that no matter what, you're not gonna circumvent the curses of Deuteronomy 28. So that's what's really different from this truth than anything else that people have tried or haven't or have delved into.
Right.
That's why, you know, and that's why, and you know, because I analyze a lot. Yeah, y'all know that, you know. And I'm like, damn, okay. So these people they're feeling this way because you know what? I was like that one time. I got to the point that I even kind of became atheist at one point briefly. Okay. And then right before I got brought into the truth, I just believed in a higher power.
So you're an agnostic.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
I
just believed in a higher power. I said, okay,
what agnostics are.
Right. All right. So there's something. So I, you know what? I never even knew that. I guess I was an agnostic, you know? Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you know,
atheists believe that there's no deities, that there's no.
Right. Well, I went through that briefly at one point. I just gave up on everything. I was like, you know, I'm just doing me and that's it. You know, and then right before, I guess, again, now that I know what you said, I guess I was an agnostic and I was like, ah, whatever. That's just a higher power and I just got to try to do right. But I still felt empty. And that's what a lot of people out there, when it comes to the Bible, they're like, ah, well, I've been in church all my life. And now you're coming back with the same thing that didn't fill me before. Why are you different? Okay. But when we start breaking down the Bible, okay, especially a radio show like this, where we put current events, things that we get into people's minds because we know what they're thinking because we were there once. And we show them that there's hope because there's scripture about that, mm-hmm. right? And isn't that in Hebrews, right? Hebrews 1, what is faith, right? The hope and the substance.
Of things not seen.
Right, get that real quick. Just get that real quick. Get that real quick because I think that's very important because a lot of people, right, because I remember myself, you know, being raised in Catholic school and remember asking the priest, well, you know, why is this like this? Why are things like that? And all he would tell me is have faith and that was it. But guess what? The Bible tells you what really faith means.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, you're hoping for a better life. You're hoping for just better in your whole, with your family, with your everyday life. Go ahead.
The evidence of things not seen.
Evidence of things not seen. So when you say have faith, okay, based on what the priest used to tell me, it's like, okay, I really don't have the answer, so just have faith and go find it yourself. It's basically what he was telling me. But here's the answer right here that I was always looking for, okay? Now, what is it? The things not seen? Read that again.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
The evidence of things not seen. For example, Deuteronomy 28, okay? We don't remember. We know we were in it because when you understand regeneration, you know that we were there, okay? In slavery and so on and so forth. But we didn't see that. We don't see that now, but we're seeing it in Deuteronomy 28 that, you know what? Yeah, I know slavery existed. My forefathers did go through that. Okay, that's evidence right there in the Bible. Go ahead.
Oh, that was it.
That was it? Okay. So, no, read the next verse.
Oh, I think it's verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report.
All right, so basically, by it, our elders obtained a good report. The main thing I wanted to get was the first part, okay? It's the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. You have to put your faith in something, okay? And Deuteronomy 28, when you're exposed to that, a chapter that's never spoken about in any church, so which you got to ask yourself, as significant as you start reading that, there's so much significance in historical and just in your nationality wise, why isn't that brought up? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the evidence right there. And that's why we always start with Deuteronomy 28 when we teach somebody their true nationality and let them know that they are the Israelites, you blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans.
All right, so that was Aparim's rant.
I was going to say, was this the pilot
of Aparim's rant.
Oh, praises.
That was about, that was a little more than 5 minutes.
Was it really more than 5 minutes?
Yep.
I don't know if 5 minutes is going to be enough.
That was the successful pilot.
No, then it's not a rant. If you go too long, then it's not a rant.
It's not a rant, you're right.
Then you should do your own, like, maybe hour show in the week.
Right. But I do have a precept real quick. Luke 14, verse 23. Going back to what Captain said, if those of you that are repenting already in Christ and taking these steps in these laws, commandments, and statutes, if you listen, all praises, that's fine. We encourage that. Share this with your non-believing friends of the world and family, so on and so forth. But the scripture says, use the world but not abuse it. So we have a platform via Blog Talk Radio that way we can reach those that have no idea that they're the Israelites the Bible speaks of. Read that. The book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.
So we go out every Sabbath and we teach in our respective cities, states, and countries to actual physical highways and hedges to the streets to teach in camp. But this is also a way that we compel the people to come into the house that way it may be filled, because the scripture says that 144,000 have to be sealed with the law, 12,000 from each tribe. So us going on this Blog Talk using current events to pull people into this is fulfilling this right here. It's exactly what it's doing.
And I wanted to bring something up because, and again, not to sound redundant, but when, like our Saturday classes, for example, the bishop does an excellent job of bringing up current events.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like a hybrid kind of thing. And not that the other radio shows don't do that, because we, you know, they do. But, you know, again, this is just kind of like a hybrid, everything mixed together on the platform that we're allowed to, you
right,
know,
exactly.
which is a radio talk show type platform, you know?
Right.
So that was a good script you brought up.
So Venezuela.
You know what? That's you're in the spirit. You know, you have so many things that you want to talk about, and then you come here, you kind of like get frozen. But I'm glad you brought that out, Cap, because there's a lot of heaviness behind it.
Yeah, I know you guys get frozen a lot. So even when I'm not ready, I always have something in the pocket. Because I asked you before the show, what are we going to talk about? Oh, I don't know, there's a hurricane.
Well, because look how it went, though. We started out talking, right? And we always got to end up with something.
When y'all
right?
are sitting down, checking your phone in that private moment, all right, and you know what I'm talking about. I want to be lewd.
I did this morning.
Okay. All throughout the week, y'all should be bookmarking stuff.
We have.
If a headline comes
stuff.
Across, it should yeah. y'all should be bookmarking things that
stuff.
You want to talk about.
We definitely have stuff. I mean, it's not like, I mean, if you would have put me on the spot, I mean.
No. I have tons of stuff that
yeah,
we can jump to. I still have things of the history. I never finished the presentation.
Yeah,
what happened to
stuff.
The 12 tribes after
sure.
we got here. I have the stuff on Gad and the mixing with Judah. I got I got a whole series of articles to review on how Israelite neighborhoods are policed different than other neighborhoods. All right. I got a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, I got stuff from a sociology textbook that I've been waiting. I've been wanting to bring out for years from a sociology class I took years ago.
I got stuff from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 that I can bring out every single week.
What?
We all got stuff. It's just like
W,
at the moment,
W,
it's
W.
What I meant was just so much stuff, you kind of don't even know where really to start. But I guess the way we started today, the radio show, I thought that was pretty cool because we kind of were just talking and just – conversation,
and we got to test pilot.
You know what it is?
Aparium's
you know what it is too? Because we don't know what we're gonna go into. I learned the title of the show when everyone else does. Because you're sitting here created as we're opening it up.
Well, right.
Something that comes up.
It's organic.
I was creating the thing like a week in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? We're leaving so many things neglected because if I do that, it's kind of like if you go up to teaching camp and you go up and you say, I'm going to teach Deuteronomy 28. And someone comes up and says, hey, you know, I have a spirit of whoremongering. How
right.
do I deal with that? And then you're still just teaching him in Deuteronomy 28.
Right.
It's not appropriate. So like if I plan the show a week ahead and then all this craziness happens in the world and I'm not talking about it. And like we kind of seem disconnected, and it's not appropriate. We need to be able to, you know, give the right medicine.
No, exactly. He says
for the right condition.
So it's organic. That's why I like it. So then I get the update of what the show's going to be about.
You mean it doesn't have pesticides?
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
No, because some people you hear it's organic.
The,
hey, listen.
It's the pure water.
It's vegan.
It's vegan.
A vegan show.
It's a vegan show.
What the hell?
What? so many people just based off of that. It goes to show you, boy. All you got to do is put a bunch of white people in front of our people telling them that something's bad for them.
One
A or good for them.
Packs of cigarettes.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. You go smoke two packs of cigarettes and eat an egg and tell me right after the impact on your body. You are full of crap. Sit down. Hey, you don't even got to do it in one sitting. Smoke the two packs over the course of a day. And then eat the one egg in one shot. And I guarantee you the impact on your body is going to be ridiculous. And yeah, it's what we got to deal with, bro. Every now and then this dude does that next door. And we got thin walls. Bro, that's why, you know what? I try not to complain. I complain about the sign. They wouldn't let us do the purple in the front.
Right.
And Bishop was like, that's why we got to buy our own schools. And I was like, yes, sir, I know. We're trying to. We're getting there. And it seems louder than he ever puts
normal,
it.
Normal,
yeah.
It gets progressively louder each time he does it.
Yeah.
It's like he tests us.
Yeah. So kind of see. Like maybe he wants us to go over there and maybe say something. So he'll be like, what about you guys when you're doing your thing?
Yeah, because that's how they think, you know.
What about you guys right. when you guys are serving God and keeping his laws?
Yeah, exactly. But it's what it is. It's something we got to deal with, you know, because this is the thin wall. Like
right.
if the office was on the other side with the concrete wall, we wouldn't hear it. This is the sheetrock wall. So... Yeah, if you happen to hear, if you pick anything up, I'm gonna bring the gain down a little bit. If you pick anything up in the background, we have some unruly neighbors. I'm telling you, wherever we go, we're hated, bro.
It's not like
we're out here cursing on the front of the thing.
We mind our business, man.
We mind our business. We come in, we do our shows.
One day a week.
We congregate for the most part. One day a week.
Maybe two. You know, we do the
right one-on-one. Exactly, and then this is what we get.
So Venezuela, Cap.
Venezuela.
That's very heavy right there.
Wait, 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. That's the call-in number. Questions, comments. If you want to say you hate us, you can call and say that. I think that'll be a funny moment on the show. Like, whatever you want. I'll let you talk.
But it would be predictable.
Yeah, I'll let you talk for a few minutes if you want to. So Venezuela, because some people might not know about Venezuela.
Yeah, because they're keeping that real low. You know that, right?
Well, no. I just think some people might not know about Venezuela as a country. So I'm going to read briefly about Venezuela. Venezuela is a country on the northern coast of South America with diverse natural attractions. Along its Caribbean coast are tropical resort islands, including Isla de Margarita and the Los Roques Archipelago. To the northwest are the Andes Mountains. That's where Alive.
That's where they crashed.
Well, was it there or was it Argentina?
No.
I know the Andes.
Andes are No,
they run the whole gamut of it.
Yeah.
They were around there. In the colonial town
of... It was bad either way.
Merida. A base for visiting Sierra Nevada National Park. Caracas, the capital, is to the north. So, Nicolas Maduro is the current president.
Took over for Chavez.
He took over for Chavez. Like, Chavez died, right?
Well. Supposedly it was natural causes, but...
Well, that's why I say he died. I didn't say he died of natural causes. Yeah. I just say he died.
He died.
Chavez is dead. Which is interesting because where I'm going with this today deals highly with that. See, because y'all don't even know where I'm going with it. I said I'm going to talk about Venezuela.
Really? No, I don't.
Y'all don't even know where I'm going with it.
No, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, where am I going with it?
You're going to Venezuela.
You're going to have Venezuela's in shambles right now.
That's part, yes. No, but you still ain't. Yeah, I got it. So, Venezuela. I don't. You know what? I'm not even gonna read the title of the episode because then it's gonna give away to you guys what. Stop looking.
I gotta be informed too, guys.
Yeah. Okay. You're gonna be informed. So let me read a little bit of this article. It's long, so I don't know. I don't think we're going to read the whole thing. Venezuela's dreams are dying. The tragic impact of a country's collapse. Caracas, Venezuela. I think about Davis Perez every day. We met on an overcast July day at a children's hospital in Caracas, Venezuela, the capital. He didn't say a word when I curled around the door on the dimly lit fourth floor. His big brown eyes just stared at me. I froze and tried to hold in a gasp. The Davis' skin was splitting open on his swollen face, his body covered in dark brown spots. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, and the Davis saw past my thinly veiled look of calm. Tears began to roll down his face as he buried his head in his hands. The Davis needed dialysis treatment for his failing kidneys, but instead of getting relief, he got a deadly bacterial infection called sepsis, according to his doctors. The filters in the dialysis machine at the children's hospital no longer worked. The Davis received contaminated blood twice. He lost 22 pounds in 2 months. His 14-year-old body looked like that of a 7- or 8-year-old. An ulcer in his throat made it too painful to eat, so he could only digest liquids. I want everyone to see what's happening with us here. It's not just what you're seeing on TV, the protests, the clashes. We are in the hospital suffering, Dieva's mother, Sandra Galindez, told me and my colleagues. So Venezuela's been going through a lot, right? And the news isn't reporting it. They're reporting Trump and his tweets and everything like that. And where I'm going with this, I'm going to show you the hypocrisy in it as far as foreign policy, because you would say, well, why should we report on Venezuela? We need to report on our country and what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It's hypocritical when you understand the level of involvement we've had in that region. When I say we, I mean the United States, that the United States has had in that region historically, from before they were the United States, since they were a bunch of pilgrims that were here, since they were conquistadors that were here first, until this day, and now they have organized policy on it. All right, America, at the end of the day, and when America, I mean the United States, is largely responsible for what's going on in Central South America and the Caribbean as far as things like this. All right. And I say that boldly, and you'll understand why in a little bit. So Venezuela is in a death spiral that shows no signs of healing. President Nicolas Maduro erased any remnants of democracy in late July, stripping political opponents of power and establishing a new legislature filled with his cronies. Dozens of nations, including the U.S., labeled Maduro's regime a dictatorship after the July 30th power grab. More than 120 Venezuelans have died since protests ratcheted up in March that sought to no avail to prevent Maduro's consolidation of power. But Maduro's cemented regime still faces the same problems it started years ago. An exodus of its educated class combined with mass shortages of food, medicine, money, and most importantly, time. I mean, this is like such a mishmash of factors that has at this place. Because how could a land so rich in soil, in resources,
oil,
have food shortages? It doesn't make sense. I mean, even your layperson should be able to just grow some joint in their backyard or in a random field, and it'll prosper. All right. I'm not even talking about like at the levels of government where now we're talking about more macro, where the oil involvement and all of that, right? Isn't like it's not Texaco, which is the one that they Chevron is theirs, right?
Chevron, that was Chavez started.
Right. So and I would imagine.
No, not Chevron.
It's one of the oil companies here.
Citgo. I'm sorry. Citgo.
It's Citgo.
Citgo, right? Because he when he was still alive. Remember, in New York, even, that was always the cheapest gas, and he did it that way for a reason. And Citgos were primarily in the poor neighborhoods.
Right. Yeah, so he was trying to help with providing the oil cheap,
and they didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. So nearly three quarters of Venezuelans recently polled said they had lost at least 19 pounds last year. Now that would be a great statistic if we were talking about the United States, because I was reading an article there about the obesity epidemic that we have here. That would be great because we're all fat bastards here in the United States. Okay. As I threw away like a good portion of my green queso for my fries, because it's like I felt like they gave me too much for the fries. Like I needed my fry to green queso ratio different. I said, wow. I said, this is like really wasteful. Like, I wonder how me multiplied by how many people just like waste stuff. I wasn't going to eat it for the sake of just eating it. I would have had the runs. It's a lot of green cheese.
Right.
So, but the point is we have abundance here. Right. It makes me think of the documentary, The End of Poverty, which is one of the major things that you could look at as to the factors as to why these things are in place and who caused them. Right. So 19 pounds in a place where people really aren't fat because they work. They don't have desk jobs. I mean, there are office jobs there, but by and large, they're an agricultural, industrial type of nation, right? Mm-hmm. They're like a few steps behind. They're not in that information age like we are, where all the jobs are kind of twiddling your fingers, answering phones, that sort of stuff.
Right.
These people do construction and farming and hard physical labor, right? So it says, as the food shortages deepen, nearly three quarters of Venezuelans posted they lost 19 pounds last year. Shortages of basic medicine and proper medical equipment for places rich in oil should be that way. As in the Evers' case are common, more than 750 women died during or shortly after childbirth in 2016, a 66% increase from 2015, according to the Venezuelan Health Ministry. Nearly 11,500 infants died, a 30% jump. Malaria cases soared to 240,000, a staggering 76% increase. The last one is especially telling. Venezuela had already eradicated malaria more than 50 years ago, but it's increased 76%. I met three paramedics in a week who all said they're low or out of gauze, gloves, and bandages.
Wow.
Galindez, the Ava's mother, found a matching kidney to replace one of her son's failing ones, but it was temporary victory. Doctors stopped performing kidney operations in April because they didn't have the resources needed for the operation. According to Dr. Belen Arteaga, the head of the nephrology unit at Hospital de Niños, Dr. J.M. de los Rios, where the Ava's was treated. The Trump administration, long critical of Maduro, has said the U.S. will not stand by as Venezuela crumbles. The U.S. slapped sanctions on Maduro and over 20 of his surrogates. But so far, Maduro treats it like a joke. He gave 13 of the sanctioned leaders one of Venezuela's highest honors, the national sword. So it's kind of like counterproductive, right? There's a lot at play here, right? So I'm only going to – I think we're only going to have time to touch the surface of it. There's some people who might be more well-versed on what's going on there. But I'm telling you that there's things that are not being reported and that Maduro is in power – I'm going to tell you because of the U.S., all right, because of the U.S. involvement in that region. And I'll elaborate in soon, Okay. Sanctions is for a country that already doesn't have stuff is kind of not what they need, right? I mean, that's gonna take more away from them,
right?
Right. So they slap sanctions to limit things coming in.
So my question is this, though: why are they slapping sanctions?
Well, because they're saying he's the one that's holding back these stuff.
Okay, but I think you used the word. It's counter. Productive,
right?
It doesn't make any sense.
Right, right. So Trump says the U.S. will not stand by as Venezuela crumbles, but then they slap sanctions on them.
Right. So, which is going to affect who?
The people. It trickles down to the people more than it's going to affect
even
them.
More so.
Right.
Even more
right.
so.
That's kind of what's happening in North Korea. They keep doing the sanctions tighter and tighter. And you know, from what I understand with North Korea, I mean, nobody really knows because they don't really let anybody in there to observe it like that.
Right.
But you hear that the people are the ones that suffer because this guy puts all his resources, Kim Jong-un puts his resources towards military and nuclear development and not enough in infrastructure and other things.
And we see he's eating well.
Right. And yeah, well, he looks like he's eating well. And then, you know, apparently this is, again, I say this is what they say because nobody's really there, so we don't really know. You know, they don't really let reporters in there and stuff. But they put harder sanctions. And then if he is that type of leader that's been already keeping things from his people, what do you think that's going to cause him to do? Keep more from them.
But that's what they've been saying on the news, that the sanctions are like...
You're making the people suffer. Now, you know, that really what they won't tell you and they won't publicize, they actually hoping that inspires the people to rebel.
Yeah, but he got such a lock on that.
But I'm just telling you that's their thinking when they do these things like this. They're really hoping that they'll rebel.
So you got to stay aside. His ancestors, I mean, I don't want to digress what the main thing is, but they already... have that North Korea for generations and generations in the lock.
Right.
Those people, because they don't know the truth, same thing that happened with us in slavery, because they did not allow us to read, they censored everything that we were able to read, we were dumbed down, blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. So that's the tactic that the dynasties, the generation, whatever you want to call it, of the Yums or whatever the hell their name is, right?
Yeah.
All right, has done. So it's very, very difficult for that to happen because guess what? Cuba, the same thing. They tried. This is no different than what they tried with Cuba with the Bay of Pigs.
Harvest of Empire.
Exactly.
Right. You have to watch that documentary if you haven't done it. I've spoken about it several times on the show.
Right.
And it tells you the involvement of the School of the Americas in the region. All right. So I'll pause for a second before I get to the most dramatic part. But the title of the show, School of the Americas, America's Influence. I put in the world, but it's really Latin America. But just in case we went over to other parts. All right. The School of the Americas is a combat training school for Latin American soldiers located at Fort Benning, Georgia. In 2001, renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. They changed the name in an attempt to take away the negative association with the School of the Americas and the atrocities committed by their program. However, under their new name, they still exert their influence and support or have supported some of the most notorious dictators and despots in Latin America. Harvest of Empire, you got to watch that documentary. All right.
It's free on YouTube.
I highly recommend it. It gives you, you know, it's not super salacious. You know, you hear that, it's like, but it gives you insight.
Mm-hmm.
It was done in a way where if they were any more telling than what they were, it probably wouldn't have been able to have been distributed. It would have been went in the vein of like Loose Change, you know, those type of documentaries that just were discussed as conspiracy theories. So I think the creators of this, they had more info. Clearly, they just couldn't push it to that point because then it would just be, you know, kind of discredited. As not reputable information. So the School of the Americas is basically to try to put it in layman's term, it's the organization or like the corporation, let's just say, that deals with dealings in Central and South America and the Caribbean. All right, they say Western Hemisphere, which would imply that like Greenland, Iceland, Canada's involved in that, but they don't do anything there. Right, it's really for Latin America. So it says here the dramatic collapse here in Venezuela is all the more painful knowing what lies beneath the ground. Venezuela has more crude oil reserves than any other nation in the world.
You need to say that part. That part, amen, out of all of them is the most important thing of that article.
What's the blessing for Asher?
Yep, dipping foot in oil.
Oh yeah.
get the blessing for Asher. So, you know, we're talking about that whole region. I mean, it includes Colombia and all of that, but what is it, Colombia to Uruguay?
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 24. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil.
All right. Colombia, Venezuela, you know, parts of Guyana. You got French Guyana, Suriname, Brazil, Uruguay. I don't know if Paraguay is part of that.
Yeah, they're right next to each other.
Yeah, so I think Bolivia, right? That's part of it, right? It's Argentina and Chile, that's Neptali. And Peru and Ecuador.
Mm-hmm. All of those other ones are Asher.
Right. So that whole region, okay, it's talking about dipping in oil. And we're reading about Venezuela, which is part of the breakdown of where Asher settled on their migration here. Read it again.
And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren.
So it says, let him be blessed with children. And that's why you have so many nations in South America that compromise Asher. All right. Even though they call themselves Colombians or Uruguayans or Brazilians, they're all descend from one forefather, which is Asher. OK, so they're the largest in South America of the northern tribes. Go ahead.
Let him be acceptable to his brethren.
Go ahead.
And let him dip his foot in oil.
Let him dip his foot in oil. So it says Venezuela has more crude oil reserves than any other nation in the world. Yes, even more than the Saudis, the Middle East.
Well, they say the world. Mm-hmm. So that should say something right there.
It was once Latin America's richest nation. All right. It's no surprise then that Bill Clinton made Caracas, a city of incredible physical beauty, his first. His first stop on a trip to South America in 1997. So they're saying Caracas is just gorgeous. I've never been. In 2013, Maduro succeeded his mentor, the late President Hugo Chavez, who rode a wave of populist fervor to the presidency in 1999. Despite Venezuela's vast resources, it had become a nation of deep inequality by the 1990s. Chavez promised to end, with his socialist agenda. Chavez, who is still revered in Venezuela, is perhaps most lauded for making housing affordable for many urban Venezuelans. So, the article's kind of lining it up to say that Chavez wasn't that great, but Chavez was doing things for his people, all right? He was cutting through all the BS. Now, mind you, Chavez, you got to understand the way the School of the Americas operates, and I'm not sure how much the articles will go into it, but the documentary Harvest of Empire basically kind of sums it up that the U.S. will support covertly whoever basically sounds like it's going to support their agenda and be amicable and cooperative to what they may want in the region. And then what happens is either these people will get in bed with America and the School of the Americas, get training and resources from them in guerrilla warfare and tactics or political espionage, whatever it might be, jump in, gain power. And then once they go against what America wants, America starts talking about them. And they go and they support the next one. They look for another one that's going to come up. That's how they got Trujillo in DR.
And that's
when you watch the documentary, it talks about Trujillo. And a lot of Dominicans know him as a terrible dictator.
Which he was, fairness.
But he learned that from the School of the Americas. They taught him how to do those things, how to torture. How to deal with that stuff.
Same thing with Panama.
And they supported his rise to power. And then when he gave him the finger. So a couple things happen here. They either go against what America wants in a good sense and what Chavez was doing here for his people. All right. We're going to read more about how they're going to portray it. See how much truth they're allowing in there. Or they get into power and they say, the hell with you, America. We're going to be despots or whatever. But it's just so complicated and convoluted because it's all about levels of destabilization in the region so that the United States has access to the vast resources that you have in Central South America and they dominate and control it in different ways without direct warfare because the global community by and large kind of won't stand for that sort of thing. We're not at that level yet. If America would just come in there and say, hey, you know, they still operate in neo-colonialism, but in different ways.
Yeah, they learned that the way Columbus did it is not going to be too popular.
Right, right, right. Yeah, so that's the point that I'm
so
getting.
So they're
doing
it inadvertently.
Yeah, so it's not like they're going to come in and send their army here and do it that way. They try to do it in different ways. It's like a Game of Thrones. It's political. That's why I say it's like political espionage. You got something?
Yeah, yeah. Give me 1 Maccabees 8 and verse 11. Because Captain brought up the point where it's always been in the nature of Esau, or who the world ignorantly calls Caucasian, or the white man. All right, it's always been.
I like white man because they are Caucasian.
Right, you're right. You're right. Caucasian just means cave dweller because right. They come from the Caucasus.
Well, the Bible calls them Edom.
So that's really it.
It is ignorant in that sense.
Right,
you
right.
know.
So this has always been their agenda, and this is what we see evident today. Start at verse 11.
The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 8, verse 11. It was told him, besides, how they destroyed and brought under their dominion all other kingdoms and isles that at any time resisted them.
So that's what America does now nowadays. Now, this was the time of the Greeks, which is still the same exact people, Edom, all right? It said that they would destroy kingdoms and have all these other isles that resisted them. Same thing America does today, because we know that America is nothing more than an extension of the ancient Greco-Roman Empire. Read.
Verse 12. But with their friends and such as relied upon them, they kept amity.
So people that accepted their policies, things like that, then they kept peace with these countries. Read.
And that they had conquered kingdoms, both far and nigh, inasmuch as all that heard of their name were afraid of them.
Read on.
Also that whom they would help to a kingdom, those reigned.
So those who accepted the mark of the beast, all right, which is America's policies, its religions, all these things. It said those they helped to a kingdom, meaning that they prospered under America's guidelines. Read.
Those reign, and whom again they displace. Finally, that they were greatly exalted.
So whoever didn't, like how you see North Korea, how you saw with Gaddafi over there what was the country he was from?
Libya. Castro and Cuba.
Those got displaced. That's exactly what we're seeing nowadays. People that want to do for themselves, America says, no, that's not what we set up. That's always been their MO.
And can I bring something out real quick? And Cap, I don't know if you're going to go there with this, but are you going to go anywhere dealing with the petrodollar?
I'm just kind of going through the article so we can get to the point, because there's still a lot more on the oil that's not being discussed here. So,
all right. Because there's something that just happened recently.
Right. So maybe let me read a little more, okay, and then you can kind of tie it in. That's a good script. You're in the spirit.
Yeah,
all right. Especially when it talks about displacing them. And
excellent.
So it says Chavez, who is still revered in Venezuela, is perhaps most lauded for making housing affordable for many urban Venezuelans. But in doing so, he began a years-long spending spree, doling out subsidies to the poor while fixing prices on everything from coffee to corn to a tank of gas. So basically, he said, hey, we're going to keep the prices fair so that the people can have and they're able to afford.
He was for the people, contrary to what the media tried to bring him up.
He shored up ties with Russia and China while distancing his country from the U.S.
Those are key things.
Yes.
Key things.
His government also nationalized many industries, then mismanaged them, leaving them to rot. So now they're saying he mismanaged them, leaving them to rot. This is where the other documentary, The End of Poverty, comes into play for you to understand mm-hmm. what's really going on here. Okay. It goes into the whole import export and how, it's kind of similar to what they do in Puerto Rico, how, Puerto Rico, can't have their own ships to import and export.
Yeah,
so they got to use the U.S. ships, but then they have to pay tariffs as if they were, shipping to a foreign country, even though they're American.
Man, they're doing Puerto Rico dirty.
That's the Jones Act.
They're what, like 77 million in debt?
It's a billion.
Billion.
And who knows now with the hurricane? I mean, the no power still in the whole island.
For 6 months, they said 4 to 6 months.
We were just there 3 months ago. That's crazy.
I know. I was telling Bishop, I said, man, we're not going to be able to go back for a while now. Like it's not going to be like at least a year.
Probably about a year.
Before we can hit it again. Because it's like it's just jacked up.
I mean, you know, they'll fix San Juan up real quick.
Well, they need the tourism. That, yeah. I think it makes sense though to do that. That's what's going to bring in.
Yeah,
the
but who's running the whole San Juan? We know that.
Yeah. So it says the excessive spending was barely sustainable when Venezuela's only source of income, oil, was valued over $100 a barrel. So, all right, it's retarded that that would be the only source of income because of all the farming and agriculture and everything that they're able to do. But it goes into, again, when you watch The End of Poverty, how they don't teach them how to really refine these things. They just let them export. And then they have to re-import the finished product. That's Lamentations. Give me that, where he says we've drunk in our water for wood.
Calling numbers 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797.
So that's 5 and 4.
Yes, sir. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 4. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us.
All right, so that's basically what you watch when you watch The End of Poverty, what it talks about, what the United States has done and its cohorts by and large in that region is they've part of the destabilization is they said, how do we control these resources without doing the Columbus, right? And then the world kind of lashing out at us for that. And what they've done is they go into these poor countries. They teach them how to, you know, harvest this stuff and everything and prep it for export to other countries. And then they refine this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the largest suppliers of wood because of the Amazon rainforest, all right, is over there in Brazil. They export all this wood, do very little refining in there. And what I mean by refining is very little of that wood stays there for them to make furniture and export. Right. How much more money, right? The raw thing is cheaper than the finished product, right? So like if I wanted to go and build something out of wood, it'll be cheaper for me to buy the wood, solid wood products at like a store a lot of times and build it myself than it would to go and buy it completed. And what I mean, and I go to say solid wood because you have some smart asses who come and be like, well, no, you know, you can buy this for like $100. Yeah, that's like particle board. That's like leftover pressed wood. I'm talking about you want to build something that's like full of wood. At the end of the day, it's cheaper to buy the raw stuff and make it yourself if you're able. They don't allow that. So when you read in Lamentations and it says they've drunken their water for money and their wood is sold unto them, they basically export all this stuff out. Very little stays there. And then the refining, so you know, whatever you make from these different things, like plastics, for example, oils made for is plastics are like a big deal in the world, period. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are plastic. Rubber, not all rubber is natural and comes from trees, it's element of petrol and all of that stuff. Instead of them being able to make these things there and sell it directly, they have to export the raw stuff out, sell the raw stuff out, and then they import tires, they import furniture, they import, you know, whatever you can make from these natural resources that they have. And they're paying 10, 20, 30, 100 times markup on what the raw product was.
What did it say about oil? Is there main?
It says the Israeli system, when Venezuela's only source of income, oil was valued over $100 a barrel.
Right. This is Genesis 49, verse 20. This is the other blessing that the Lord told us would be upon the children of Asher, which is that region in South America where Venezuela is at. It says, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. So just like the captain's bringing out, no, oil is not the only thing that's bountiful there. They have rich soil. All right, all kinds of crops and vegetation and everything
and the moisture and the climate to basically grow year round.
Right. Thus saith the Lord, his bread shall be fat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. All praises. That's what I'm telling you, bro. You can't refute these things, man. You got people who try to, I mean, we spoke about it last week a little bit. You got the haters that stay watching us. Instead of teaching our people repentance, you got the haters that stay watching us talking about we agents that 144,000 are from each tribe. The gates have tribe names of them. You have to know who the tribes are today. And they're not all going to be, but they're trying to say that it's all the dark-skinned tribes. I don't even want to go off on that rant, all right? But it's just, because then we're going to change the whole face of the show. We might have to pick this up too loud. I mean, we'll see how far we get. We have 31 minutes. We'll see how far we get. I mean, and this could lead into other things. Maybe we could talk about the documentary some more. So it says, but oil is now worth less than $50 a barrel. Maduro's regime continues to dole out heavily subsidized food and force some products to be sold for a pittance. So he's actually trying to keep the food and everything low. They're telling you Maduro.
He's continuing what Chavez did.
Right. But they're trying to frame it as something else. Okay, so it says he doles out subsidized food and he forced some of his products to be sold for a pittance. So this is why I say the sanctions are only going to force him to raise prices more on this stuff. That domino effect has created a worthless currency. See, and this goes to all these other nations being confederate and manipulating the dollar, all right, manipulating paper currency. On July 24th, the day I arrived in Venezuela, a dollar, an American dollar, equaled 8,820 bolivars. That's the exchange rate. As I write this on September 6th, a dollar fetches nearly 20,000 bolivars. In other words, the bolivar is worth less than a hundredth of a penny. Daily lives crumble under that kind of pressure. When I visited, here's the thing. Maduro and Chavez meant to do good. But when you play in the world of Esau's sandbox and their influence and control on the whole world economy, and you don't play by their rules, see, this is why only Christ can redeem us, bro. Because you're not going to be able to fight these things like currency exchange. And then maybe there's a good point for you to kind of talk about the petrol dollar then, because we're talking about currency and stuff like that. And they're talking about how the bolivar is undervalued. Compared to what? Compared to the American dollar. Because the American dollar and the euro are what drives. You know, some people talk about the yen, but let's be real. Everybody watches the dollar and they measure it against the United States dollar.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because if you would allow me, I want to segue into that real quick.
Sure.
Okay. Calling number is 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. No, it's going to go
part
straight
two.
To it. So,
the B side.
Remix. Whenever
took the
you
glasses off and everything. Uh oh. he wiped the sweat off the brow.
We only got 30 minutes,
guys. At 29.
So this article, at the end of the day, and I came across this article briefly. They talked about it briefly, okay, on the news. But not really on the news, but in the article, okay? So basically, the headline of the article is De-dollarization spikes. Venezuela stops accepting dollars for oil payments. Now, this is September 14th that this was posted. Mm. Okay, so I just put petrodollar Venezuela, and that was the first one. I'll just read the first two paragraphs. As we previously noted, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro said last Thursday that Venezuela will be looking to free itself from the U.S. dollar next week, meaning this week, because this was September 14th. Here's his quote. Venezuela is going to implement a new system of international payments and will create a basket of currencies to free us from the dollar. Maduro said in a multi-hour address to a new legislative super body, he reportedly did not provide details of this new proposal. Now, that's all you need to know to see where this is going.
Right.
Okay. Now, the other article I read said that he is going to be using the yuan, the Chinese yuan, instead of the dollar. Okay. So, same exact thing that Gaddafi did. He was going to go ahead and free himself from the dollar and create the curve, because his thing was we could be self-supportive. Mm-hmm. Okay. And even the bishop said it, but we think that Gaddafi could have been Israel. Okay. We think he could have been Israel. All right. He was going to free himself from everything dealing with the United States. And look what happened to Gaddafi. That's why, just going back to Kim Jong-un, his parents know how America operates. His family knows. He ain't stupid. In my opinion, unless, again, everything's of the Most High, first and foremost. But in my opinion, he's going to go down fighting, because he knows the minute he gives up that nuclear program, they are going to go in and do the same thing they did to Gaddafi, the same thing they did to Saddam Hussein, the same thing they want to try to do to Iran. Iran ain't stupid. They ain't giving up. They know the history of America.
Hey, let me tell you something. This is how you know that the mark is not a chip, bro.
Exactly.
As you're saying all this, I'm thinking about this. I'm reading a little further ahead of the next paragraphs that we're going to read. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, yo, what he is trying to do is free himself.
Free him. He used the word.
From the pressures and oppression of the global economy that's led by the United States.
Right. Job 9:24.
All right. And when you don't do that, when you read the next parts here, you're going to understand how it's dealing with that. And it's dealing with being on board with their policies, and its sanctions, okay, is the punishment that they put on them.
Right. And it's not because they care about the people in Venezuela. It's because of what I just read here.
Because
they're making moves.
Yes.
He's making a power move.
He's trying to free himself from the matrix.
Exactly.
And they're like, that's unacceptable.
That's
The whole system will collapse. Because what if this is a better option?
That's what we read in First Maccabees.
Yep.
That's exactly right. What we read. Those that want to accept it, we'll help them. If not, bye. See you later.
And here's the proof, like the captain brought out, the globalization. Globalization means they run the whole world. Here's what the scripture says.
The book of Job, chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he?
So it says the world is given into the hands of the wicked. Give me the precept. Okay, real quick. All right. Who is the wicked? Who is the wicked? Catherine brought it out. Globalization. Okay. The elites. We hear a lot in the news. Okay. Go ahead.
Malachi chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places.
Edom is the biblical name for the Caucasians. Go ahead.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness.
The border of what?
Of wickedness.
Border, meaning they surround the border. Border means they cover everything.
The border, it starts or ends something, depending on which side of it you're on. They're the start and finish of all wickedness in the earth.
And that's what that scripture's saying. Okay, so that's exactly what's going on now.
Go back to Lamentations 5 and 4, and I want to read to 6.
All right. Lamentations 5, chapter 5, verse 4. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us.
So we went over that briefly, letting you know what's going on, and we're going to read more. Think of these scriptures that came out as we read the next paragraphs on this article. Go ahead.
Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest.
Right. A lot of times we look at this historically and what happened when the conquistadors and everything were here. This is still happening today in many parts of the world. Mm-hmm. The problem is that when you do it from the American perspective, this is what I'm telling you. People, those of us who are here, it's hard for us to see that we're in our captivity. It's like we're fooled. We're the house niggas, the ones in the United States. Mm-hmm. Let me put it like that. We're the house niggas. And meaning that we've been given some comforts and some ease and some rest. So we're fooled and we're deceived by what's going on with our brothers and sisters in the rest of the world. All right, read on.
Verse 6. We have given the hand to the Egyptians.
By allowing them to say, hey, you dictate the dollar, the strength of all our currency based on yours. You deal with the imports and the exports and teach us how to be industrious. Go ahead.
And to the Assyrians.
Read on.
To be satisfied with bread.
To be satisfied with bread. Now, let me read these next parts, all right? So it says, daily lives crumble under that kind of pressure because of everything we just brought out, all right? It shouldn't crumble under that kind of pressure. When I visited, a jar of Jiffy peanut butter cost 80,000 boulevards. The most you can take out of the ATM at a time is 30,000 boulevards. I saw people line up outside ATMs hoping to get cash before it ran out, then rush to the supermarkets to wait for hours in line there. To make the wheels go round, Maduro's government has taken out far more debt than it can pay. It owes China, Russia, bondholders, oil companies, and even airlines tens of billions. Venezuela only has $10 billion in reserves, and experts say a government default is a when, not an if. All right. This all goes back to the import export. Listen to me good as I keep reading here. All right. Venezuela's debt troubles have created human suffering. In practice, Maduro seems to have decided to prioritize paying the bills over. Check this out. It sounds so negative. He's prioritized paying the bills to keep his government running over importing food, medicine, and other essentials. They get that stuff. Read verse 6 again in Lamentations, what we just had.
Verse 6. We have given the hand to the Egyptians.
Go ahead.
And to the Assyrians.
Read on.
To be satisfied with bread.
To be satisfied with bread. To get the bare necessities because of the years of influence of the United, starting with the United States, mm-hmm. all right, of influence in these countries, in this region, this is where they're at. That when they go ahead and they go against the grain and they go against what the border of wickedness has in place, and now it's starting to hurt the people in a different way. Not because people have this perception that Maduro's there and he's like brutalizing people, right? That he's just like he's doing like what's that movie, The Last King of Scotland, like that dictator,
you know what I
mean? Yeah, like because he was like straight killing people and all that other stuff, right? Like, you know, he wasn't trying to really help the people. So it tells you here, in practice, Maduro seems to have prioritized paying the bills over importing food, medicine, and other essentials. So they're saying he's on this road to try to – listen, there got to be growing pains. I'm not saying it's not going to work because we know at the end of the day these right. are the curses. You can't overcome them. But this is the big cause of what's going on here. Don't let them trick you into thinking that this guy is just jacked up. You got to understand that the root of the problem when you look historically – and listen, we're probably not going to get to too much of the School of the Americas today. So Lord's will, we'll continue it. We're not here next week, but we'll pick it up. Amariah is going to carry the show. We might call in, though. We'll see what time we got. Call in, see what you're doing.
Oh, you want me to do the show next week?
Yeah.
Solo Dolo?
You going to be here? No, you got a soldier. Hey, Sakar? You going to miss us?
Well, of course, man. I mean... It's the crew. This is the Sabbath crew. I mean,
oh, snap.
I just got nervous.
So it says, since the government allowed much of the nation's resources to decay, look at how they're wording this. The resources have not decayed. They have all the resources there.
Right.
All right. But now you put sanctions and that's going to trickle down and hurt the people more. It must ship in nearly everything. No, it must ship in nearly everything. Because of the end of poverty, because of the way it was set up in there. Mm-hmm. That's why it must ship in nearly everything. No, bro, look at how they try to twist this shit and say because of Maduro and Chavez, that's why this has been happening. They've been shipping things in for hundreds of years.
Bring it out.
And they're trying to set this up to shit. Bro, oh my goodness. As recently as March, Maduro called for the U.S. to help his country with its medical shortages. But at other times, he has refused the aid Venezuela has offered. Why do you think that is? Because there's conditions to it.
Every single time.
There's conditions to it every time. He's selling a piece of his soul, his country's soul and his people's soul, every time to the biblical devil that the Bible speaks of, every time he makes a deal for that type of help.
That's why.
That goes to show you that he's a man for his people because even if it says he, even through all this, he says, yo, I got to acknowledge sometimes I got to ask the U.S. for help. Sometimes mm-hmm. I got to go to daddy. And he's doing it what? But, bro, this guy's for his people. And they're painting a picture that he's not.
With that help comes with when it says that he calls all small or great, right, to receive
right.
the mark in their foreheads
right.
and in their right hand.
Right, right.
That's that mark of the beast.
Right.
Exactly what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, but it's a chip.
No.
So Venezuela's going through this because they refuse to take a microchip. Gosh. Freaking ignorant ass. Oh, my goodness. As early as March, Maduro called the U.S. to help his country with its medical shortages. But at other times, he has refused the aid Venezuela's offered because there's conditions attached to it. Maduro has said the severe shortages are part of it. I'm saying the conditions part. That's not in the article. They won't tell you that. Mm-hmm. Maduro has said the severe shortages are part of an economic war. Designed to overthrow him.
And he didn't use those words. He didn't use those words lightly.
They put it in quotations. Bro, they are trying to. Oh my God.
But
somebody send Maduro a flyer?
Hold on one second. Because people listening on now, they may not understand that this is in the Bible. Okay? And the captain brought it out about the chip and everything. And a lot of people who are unrepentant hear that. Okay? Get that real quick. Just get to the point with that about the mark. Okay?
The book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 16, and he calls it all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead.
Why in their right hand? Because what do you usually do with your right hand? You swear. You shake with your right hand, right? When you shake, that's an agreement, right?
The right hand's always been the power
right,
hand.
That's
even,
the power
even
hand.
Like the blessings that we would get from our
it's
forefathers.
Always with the right hand.
The right
the
hand.
Power that's
hand.
Right.
Right.
That's right. And in their foreheads, why? Because they have to go ahead and agree to it. Okay,
right.
The shaking is the physical agreement, and in their mind, they agreed to it already in their mind. Go ahead.
And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark.
Save he meaning except, that's an old Quaker word, except he that had the mark, except he that has agreed with his right hand, shook on it, and has made the decision in his mind.
Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Okay, so basically, at the end of the day, if you don't agree with America's policies, guess what's going to happen? What's happening in North Korea right now? Sanctions. Mm-hmm. Okay, what happened to Gaddafi? They killed him.
Hey, Canada's issuing new sanctions against, because they've been going to Canada. Canada's just issued sanctions against Venezuela.
Right, right.
That's
right.
Part of the United States.
I mean, staying on topic with Venezuela, it says that no man may buy or sell. That's the sanctions being put
yes.
on Venezuela right
yes.
now.
So again, it says Maduro has said the severe shortages are part of an economic war.
There you go.
Designed to overthrow him. This is Harvest of Empire. Listen to the next verse, okay? The next verse, the next paragraph. Under those conditions, Venezuelans have been fleeing for years. Nearly 2 million have left the country since Chavez took power in 1999, according to Tomas Paez, a sociologist at the Central University of Venezuela. The main premise, or one of them, of Harvest of Empire is that the exodus and immigration... All right, because it depends on how you look at it. If you're here in the United States, you call it immigration. If you're in those countries, you call it an exodus, all right, or mm-hmm. diaspora. Of so many so-called Hispanics to the United States stems from U.S. policies causing these places to be unlivable. And it causes – they do not want to leave the beauty. We run there to vacation, and we talk about retiring there one day right. because of its beauty and everything else. Sometimes, if you're not looking at things spiritually, you wonder why would they even come here. Don't get me wrong. There's some beautiful things that you can find out here. There's aspects of, especially here in Arizona, that I love. You're talking about Sedona and all this other stuff that I think is gorgeous. But where do we go when we want a vacation? We go to these tropical places. I want to visit this and see that and lay on the beach and do all that. They can have this every day, but they flee it because of the economic war. Like Maduro calls it, and it's not just Venezuela, man. A lot of countries are dealing with this in Central South America and the Caribbean. All right, in 2016, the United Nations predicted that next door Colombia could expect an avalanche of refugees in the years to come, with more than 100,000 Venezuelans having illegally crossed the border into Colombia as of July. According to Colombia's custom agency, some would say that avalanche has already begun. U.S. President Donald Trump imposed new sanctions at the end of August that effectively banned Venezuela and its state-run oil company from tapping U.S. debt markets for money. But it's not a full ban on Venezuelan oil, which would quickly choke off Maduro's government, because that's like the last leverage that he has, that he's mm-hmm. trying to hold out. This isn't going to end well no matter what for Venezuela. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do the petrodollar. It's not going to work. All right.
He'll get killed, assassinated somehow.
That's what's going to happen next. Or this is going to be the excuse for rebels to rise up. And guess who's going to be funding and supporting and training the rebels?
America.
The School of the Americas.
Right.
Otherwise known as the Western Hemisphere.
Same thing that happened with the Bay of Pigs.
Institute for Security Cooperation. Yes.
They took
that's
the
exactly.
Cubans.
Harvest of Empire talks
yep.
about that. All right.
Same thing.
If y'all brothers haven't seen it, I'm telling y'all, instead of watching Magnificent Seven and all this other stuff, y'all should sit down and watch this. All right.
And then watch Magnificent
Seven. When you want to just.
I actually have the note in my phone. You first brought it up on the 14th of May.
Watch
this year.
Watch. Captain Shim. Watch it.
And watch the Panama Deception also.
The Panama Deception is another great one.
Even the Rain.
The Canary Effect.
Canary Effect is very good.
Bro, there's so many good ones. The End of Poverty. I actually fell asleep halfway through it because I try to watch it late at night. You got to watch that like during the day.
Well, now I got a topic for next week now that I know that the pressure's been on.
Ooh, there you go. So U.S. President Donald Trump imposed new sanctions at the end of August that effectively banned Venezuela and a state-run oil company from tapping U.S. debt markets for money. But it's not a full ban on Venezuelan oil, which will quickly choke off Maduro's government. Several Venezuelans told me Trump should get on with it. Anything to strangle Maduro's power, they say. This is what I'm saying. The sanctions and the economic war is so that the people become disenfranchised with the good that this man is trying to do. But such a move cuts both ways. Plowing down Maduro's regime with an oil ban would almost certainly cut off what little food and medicine is coming into the country. And like many such measures imposed from afar, the impact is often strongest on those who can least survive it.
Mm.
And you got the picture of this poor boy because of the kidneys. This dude looks – he's 14. Look at this picture. I didn't see this picture before in the article. Like he's 14 years old.
Wow. He looks like a kid.
And
14, you're still young. You're a kid. But
he looks less than that.
Looks like 8 years old.
His skin is splitting open because of lack of resources there. Galindez, the Eva's mother, burst into tears a few minutes into our conversation. Her son's eyes welled up more. It crushed me to keep asking questions. I felt like I was making the pain worse. Her last response hit me hardest. I asked her, what's his dream? He wants to be an international journalist, she replied. I returned to my hotel, stood in the shower, and sobbed. I buried my head in my hands like Dieves. What's so different between me and him? A country? A government? Fate? I would have given him my job if it meant he would be spared even one more moment of pain, but I couldn't stop the suffering. Because this is a global Confederate agenda, and only Christ can save us, man. Only Christ can save us. Davis died on the night of August 17th after going into respiratory arrest. Eight children, including Davis, have died in dialysis ward so far this year. Four from a bacterial infection and the rest from general kidney failure. Three children died in dialysis ward in all of 2016, according to the hospital director.
Wow.
After his death, Galindez told me she feels sadness, anger, an enormous emptiness in my heart and my soul. Hold on, I was just checking the time. She blames both the government and hospital staff for losing her son. She said the hospital allowed the Davis condition to deteriorate and plans to take legal action against the facility and the health ministry with other mothers who've lost children. So, again, exasperating more problems. Again, you got to understand what the real motivation is here. You know, he's going to have to play ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's either going to play ball or get removed so that with someone that's going to play ball.
Chavez never played ball. Remember, he went into the
UN.
He
made it work for a long time, bro.
Yeah. Remember, he went to the UN, and when Bush got off speaking, he said, it smells like sulfur here.
Yep.
The devil was just here,
yeah,
he said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He never played ball, and that's why they ended up killing him.
It really hurts knowing that you bring your son to the hospital for one thing. He gets worse from others. Then you get him back in a box. It really, Art Diega, the head of the hospital's nephrology unit, said they did everything that could be. The hospital ultimately didn't have the resources the Davis required. Galindez also said the government knows that there's a health crisis, and they haven't resolved anything. She had blunt advice for Maduro. Resolve all the crises in the country. And if he doesn't feel prepared to do that, then simply hand over power and others that can't resolve them. This is what happens, bro, because it is what I'm saying. It's the same. This is what they're hoping happens in North Korea with those sanctions. But this is the result of these things. Venezuela faces a lonely road ahead. Its children are dying and its men and women are starving or leaving. Most of its neighbors won't recognize its government. Trump and other world leaders say they won't sit by while Venezuela collapses. They haven't been sitting by.
You know why?
They're the architects of this.
You know why it's not going to happen in North Korea? Because they're not Jake. And like he said,
right,
like Kim Jong-un's been conditioned for generations,
right,
to be like that. He looks at his people as casualties of war.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm afraid there isn't much more to save. And the only effective options stand to hurt those who've endured. Maduro's torturous regime. Mind you, there's nothing here saying that he's torturing the people,
right,
that he's subjugating the people.
No.
Bro, this is bullshit. And it's the same way they try to portray Chavez.
Right.
And American media just tells you this, that, and the third about him. And everybody jumps on board with that, not fully understanding what's going on. Maduro's torturous regime, such bullshit, is taunting them. How much does the world really care about Venezuela, about the next Davis? Not enough, I fear.
You know what happens, though? You read that article, and for some reason, people get blinders, and they just selective reading, if you will. But it's said many times in there, praising the guy for what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the article was meant to be negative.
Hey, let me read another brief because we only got like a few minutes, so I'm not going to be able to get into the School of the Americas piece. So, Lord's will, the week after next, I'm going to pick up with that, and we're going to continue to talk about the School of the Americas. Maybe we can all watch the documentary again. We've got like 2 weeks so that we can all speak to it. All right. You should be on that show with us since you won this one. So, talk to them on the rotation if you're not. So, not this Saturday coming. I mean, unless you work it out that way. But the one after that, let's be on that, because I think after that I'm traveling, so I want to get it before I go. So check this out. In Venezuela, they were teachers and doctors. To buy food, they became prostitutes.
Wow.
Teachers and doctors.
At a squat concrete brothel on the muddy banks of the Arauca River, Gabriel Sanchez rattled off the previous jobs of the women who now sell their bodies at his establishment for $25 an hour. We've got lots of teachers, some doctors, many professional women, and one petroleum engineer. He yelled over the din of Vallenato music. All of them showed up with their degrees in hand, and all of them came from Venezuela. As Venezuela's economy continues to collapse amid food shortages, hyperinflation, and U.S. sanctions, at least they mention it here,
right,
it's collapsing because of U.S. sanctions, waves of economic refugees have fled the country. Those with the means have gone to places like Miami, Santiago, and Panama. Let me move this closer so I can keep an eye on the time. The less fortunate find themselves walking across the border into Colombia looking for a way, anyway, to keep themselves and their families fed. A recent study suggested as many as 350,000 Venezuelans had entered Colombia in the last 6 years. But with jobs scarce, many young and not so young women are turning into the world's oldest profession to make ends meet. Diana, a 30-year-old mother of four, nursed a beer. She watched potential clients walk down the dirt road that runs in front of wooden shacks, bars, and bordellos. Dressed for work in brightly colored spandex, Diana said she used to be the manager of a food processing plant on the outskirts of Caracas. And notice the whole uniform is brightly colored spandex.
Right.
So sisters walking around wearing only spandex, that's a whole uniform. But that job disappeared after the government seized the factory and looted it, she said. So look at how they're saying it, that the government seized the factory and looted it to give to the people.
Mm-hmm.
7 months ago, struggling to put food on the table, she came to Colombia looking for work. Without an employment permit, she found herself working as a prostitute in the capital, Bogota. While the money was better there, she eventually moved to Arauca, a cattle town of 260,000 people along the border with Venezuela, because it was easier to send food back to their children in Caracas. The previous night, her sister had traveled by bus for 18 hours from Caracas to pick up a bundle of groceries that Diana had purchased, pasta, tuna, rice, cooking oil, and then immediately jumped on a bus back home. 18 hours each way, 36 hours, day and a half for her to come and get food. And, of course, it's easy to blame Maduro. But the real root of the problem goes back to America, the United States. If you had told me 4 years ago that I would be here doing this, I wouldn't have believed you, said Diana, who asked that her last name not be used. But we've gone from crisis to crisis, and now look where we are. I'm gonna stop there because we got 5 minutes for maybe final thoughts and stuff like that. This I'm going to save this article. We can touch on this one when we come back. At the next show, also, what is the SOA and Western Hemisphere thing? But you got any closing thoughts? You any final scriptures? I see you digging. You any final scriptures you want to bring out? I mean, I think we brought out some good ones today in having this discussion. It's staggering how this thing is painted that way.
Right.
And then, of course, if you're on the end of the suffering, you're just going to say, you know what? Just make the deal with them. And hey, listen, at the end of the day, it's almost like that would be my advice, because Maduro, only Christ is going to save us.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So you're prolonging the suffering, bro. That's my advice. Get in bed with America, bro, because right. Everybody else is. And what you really should be doing is maybe from the top, why don't you preach repentance? That's the revolution. Goes back to what we say. Repentance is revolutionary. He's trying to be a revolutionary, and I laud him for that. All mm-hmm. right, I applaud him for that. But you cannot do that here. No man will buy you.
Listen, I understand something. This is South America, right?
Right.
Well, the word and the name itself tells you that America has their hands in there, because that wasn't really what it was called. All of this was called Azarit, right? Uh-huh. But it's his country, right? That's a country. Venezuela is a country, right? By all standards, it's a country, right? And America still has their hands in it. So you talk about the scriptures we just brought out. The world is given into the hands of the wicked. They create the crisis and then capitalize on the crisis.
Just like Captain Yashua said, he applauds him for wanting to stand up and do right by his people. But we have to understand that all nations are confederate against the nation of Israel, which is you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans. All right? And the scripture is very clear that nowhere we would go that we would escape these curses. And the best way to cut us off of being a nation is to divide and conquer. The first thing Captain said was that these crises going on in Venezuela aren't being out there publicly for us to see, because they don't want us to know that we're the same people. All right. Again, like we say every single week, the true revolution is repentance. This is Isaiah 43 verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me, there is no savior. There is no savior but the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, that's going to only come redeem his people as soon as we learn that we are the Israelites, repent as Israelites, and start keeping God's law, statutes, and commandments.
Hey, you got to understand something. Deuteronomy 28:15 starts and it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So it's telling you that these things would come upon thee and overtake thee. I'm going to give you a quick one over here. Verse 25, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies." Mm. And that's what's happening with Maduro. A lot of times we think of that just in the form of, physical warfare and losing. But that's not the world we live in today. It's different. Mm-hmm. OK, there's different tactics that they've come up with. They're smitten right now because there's nothing they could do. They do sanctions. Listen, now your people are suffering for it. Thou shall go out one way against them and try to create your own currency and try to separate against them. All right. And flee seven ways before them. Mm-hmm. And now what you're getting is people leaving, and the people you intended to help, your people, mass exodus, people revolting against you. All right. And shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, because they're migrating everywhere else but there to try to get away from that stuff.
Right. And you may be wondering, well, why do people revolting against a man that's trying to help him? because that's just how we are.
Well, you inflict enough pain, you're going to turn on
the
people.
You're going to be like, why don't you? You know what they're saying?
By the hand that
they're saying, why don't you just give in to the America?
Right.
That's what they're saying. That's what
they're
saying.
Like I said, man, the part of me, man, that's that knows the depths of this devil. It tells me, yo, keep resisting. But I know that there's no positive end to that. He's just prolonging the inevitable.
That's exactly what it is.
So for me, keep resisting, but resist by teaching your people to repent and keep the commandments. And listen, man, Lord's will, man, we can get out to Venezuela and start teaching our people there. You know what? We're slowly starting to get to these Northern Kingdom countries and put boots on the ground to try to build it up, all right? And Lord's will continues to happen, you know, and the spirit rises up and more laborers are brought in, more Northern Kingdom that has that fiery spirit, that Joshua spirit, that spirit of Hosea, all right? That spirit of Tobit to rebuke, okay? And be an example to our people. We got 20 seconds left. Lord's will, we'll pick this up the week after next. Next week, you'll have thoughts from Amariah.
Bring them out.
All right. Have a blessed Sabbath. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.